Well, some of you glad to be here.
Amen.
It's good to be saved, amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Well, you're more glad to be saved than to be here. But anyway, it is good to see you again. Several of you have been out for a while. And I just want you to know something. I miss you when you're gone. You might not realize that there's somebody that used to sit beside you, and now they're not there anymore. But once they're gone, you need to check in on them. Keely, I missed you and your mama, and I just missed every one of you. Brother Woody, it seemed like it's been... Where'd Woody go? Seems like it's been a month since Brother Woody has been here. Probably been several weeks, and it's good to have him back. Ken, Kathy, good to see y'all again. I miss y'all when you're not here, folks. I really do. And I just want you to know that. And not only that, I need you here, and you need to be here. So it works out well for every one of us. And you tell your husband that, I miss him already. I used to have Tim sitting right there. And if you ain't noticed, Ron and Lynn Ham's not sitting right behind where Tim and Sam's sitting. You know, there's a lot of people that's not here. But God knows where they're at and what their need is. But I sure do appreciate you being here tonight. With the Lord as my help, we'd be in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis tonight. Just following up on the message and the service from Sunday. What a blessing it was. If you were able to be here Sunday, then I know you enjoyed it. It was just hard. It's hard to leave. I just wanted to stay here because it was just that good to see the altar just, full. And people doing business with God. And then Sister Danielle right over here, and I call her sister with that very intent. She is our sister in Christ now. To see her get saved right, you know, while she was here Sunday. What a blessing, my friends. It don't get much better than that. And I'll say this. I said it in the prayer room. There was an excitement here Sunday. That electricity, that spirit that was here Sunday. He could be here every single time these doors are open if we so want him to be. That excitement was because we had Brother Feldman back, and Brother Feldman brought with him that excitement and that fervor and that urgency of message. I mean, he preached a message that his 83 years, it was just as timely as it was if he had been 40 years old preaching it. And it did the job because it convicted a soul. The Word of God convicted a soul, and a soul was converted. And that's what it's all about. And I'm telling you, my friends, we need to get honest, to get serious with God about what we're doing. We're not here just to be seen. We're not here to go through the motions. But God, we're here for our. I need God, and we're here for ourselves. Brother Grant, you need him, and that's why we're here. And Brother Feldman he just outdid himself, and then to sit right here and had to have his oxygen afterwards, and Lisa's up here fanning him, and, you know, but he just outdid himself. But see, the thing is, God's been using that man for all these years, and he's not done yet. He's not done with that man yet. Ain't that amazing that God didn't just shelve him? It keeps him going and keeps him in there, and soul still being won. What a blessing. And then I also mentioned in the prayer room some things that Brother Feldman said while he was here about, I'm about to make some of you mad. Y'all remember that? Fixing to make somebody mad. You know why he said that? Is because he was getting ready to tell somebody the truth. And he's getting ready to get real close to where somebody lives. And whenever you start getting in somebody's pea patch, you start getting in somebody's robe where they're at, I'm telling you, it'll start turning up some things. And he doesn't do that. I don't do that. Preacher Kenny, Brother Chris, Brother Joe, Brother Troy, nobody who's standing, Brother Larry, Brother Derek, doesn't matter who's standing. We don't do that to upset you. And whenever he said, I'm a fixing to make somebody mad, or I'm getting ready to upset somebody, you know why he said that? Because it's the truth. The truth will set you free. But sometimes, you ever heard that? The truth what? The truth hurts. And sometimes it does. It just downright gets real close to where you're at. So I want to use some of those same thoughts and things that Brother Feldman was preaching on and help us a little bit tonight. You see, I'm in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis. You remember whenever Moses said Abraham said, that's my sister? And then Isaac comes right along behind here in the first few verses, in verse, I think it's down about number 7 or 8, somewhere through there. He said, that's my sister. Remember that, brother? Well, sometimes those sins of the fathers come down on us. But I want to take tonight and look at not the failings of Isaac, but I want to look at this. And we preached this scriptures here before, probably a couple different times over the years. Going to look at it just a little bit different tonight. And namely this. I think I preached it here one time and called Don't Drink the Dirt. And I even brought a little illustration by bringing some water up here and then contaminated that water with what was supposed to be dirt. It was chocolate. And chocolate goes better than milk than it does in dirt. But for that message, I had to have a well, and I put dirt in the well. And if you'll remember that, then I drank the dirt. And I'm preaching, don't drink the dirt. Tonight, I want to go back to the things. I want to think about what made this place, what made it great, what keeps it great, and then what will keep it great 40 years from now. If the Lord doesn't come back, this is going to be the place that we're going to grow old. This will be the place where your children are raised. This will be the place where your grandchildren are raised. That's why this place must be kept holy. God doesn't, He's not really necessary. He doesn't necessarily want us to be happy. You read in there where it said God wants you happy. I'll tell you where it shows you God said be holy. But you can be joy-filled. There's a difference in joy and happiness. Happiness is getting a new bicycle, but when that new bicycle and the new wears off of it, it's not even on the kickstand anymore. It's laying out in the yard and it's rusting because it's been rained on. Oh, that thing was full of happiness when you first got it, but joy, it never gets old. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it just bubbles up all the time to life anew. Let's go ahead and stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. But listen, if I ever preach something, and maybe I will say it, I'm going to, fixing to make somebody mad like Brother Feldman did or whatever, don't take it personal. I used this scripture in the prayer room tonight about out of the book of Ezekiel, about how the Lord had commissioned Ezekiel and told him that I want to make your head harder than a flint, because the people that you're going to preach to is a hard-headed people. I'm going to make your face hard against them. And he said, because their look towards you is a hard look towards you. And brother, we've mentioned it, Brother Tam, in the prayer room. How many times has your daddy or me or this other preacher or that preacher said, man, you're staring, your face looks like your calf staring at a new gate. Do you remember that? And Brother Feldman even said it. You know why we say that? Y'all are sitting up here. Y'all, I don't know if any of y'all's face will get like that tonight. Maybe Margaret's, but I don't know about the rest of them. But if y'all will look out, you'll see what I'm talking about when I start hitting the lick on the different sins of mankind. I'm telling you, people get long-faced about that. And if I'm hitting on lick or something, just look toward Margaret and see what her face does. Anyway, let's just preach just a little while tonight before Margaret hits me in the back of the head with something. Don't forget, Sunday night we'll be here with the ordination service for Brother Scott Wagoner. Try to be here if you want to be here to be a part of that. His deacons will be here and his church will be here. Brother Larry Key's helping with the ordination service. If you want to be a part of the presbytery, we're meeting at the men's prayer room at 4:30. So be prepared for that. Brother Paul Jones here tonight. We'll need Brother Paul Jones or Brother Keith Handy, the assistant church clerk. Somebody sit on the examination for the examination report. And we'll talk to Brother Paul about that. If you're in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, I'm going to pick up the reading. It's just beyond the failings of Isaac. But I'm telling you what, even in the failings of Isaac, when you fail, get back up, okay? If you fail, if you trip, if you stumble, if you mess up, get back up. I watched little Ella Burgess, and I don't know, they're probably all downstairs. I bet James is down there, and probably Lori and the whole crowd's probably down there in Children's Church. And on that note, if you want to volunteer to help in Children's Church, you'd like to volunteer one night to go down and help them, see them. They're always needing volunteers to rotate in and out so everybody doesn't get stuck down there. But I saw that young lady, and she was up here playing on Sunday, and then I honestly saw her disappointment. And if you knew where my heart was at, I remember a young Macy Hall, about four or five? I remember Macy going up, and she was doing the same thing. She was learning to play. Not only did Miss Macy draw a blank and come up lame, but when she was coming down, she fell face first down from the pulpit. I mean, just splattered out down there. And I thought, that youngin will never play the piano again in church. She's discouraged, she's crying, she's upset. And I saw Miss Ellen, I saw the disappointment. Man, I've been trying to encourage her. I want to encourage her. Listen, folks, because you mess up or because you fail, it doesn't mean it's over with. Dust yourself off and get back up. And if you see somebody else that's down, Ryan, help pick them back up. Ye who are strong, ye who are spiritual, lift up them that are weak. Help them up. Don't kick them while they're down. So many times, rather than sending them a lifeline or giving them some kind of a buoy or a flotation of grace device that might help them be propped up. Sometimes, bless God, Brother Kenny, I think we send them a brick or we throw them something that's going to take them further under. They don't need that. They're already down. They need to pick me up. And bless God, there's too many times that people are willing to push somebody else down. And I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. And I'm going to say it again tonight. You won't make yourself look any bigger by putting somebody else down. It makes you look smaller in the process. You're not going to add to your stature by making somebody else less than you are. It doesn't work that way. Isaac has messed up here, but God still used Isaac. Watch right here, just beyond the failing, and you'll see the failing down through 26. Go through about 8 or 9 down through the year, you're going to see he messed up because he had told them that Rebekah was his sister, and then Abimelech called him out on it because the Bible said in verse number 8, the latter part, that he was sporting with his wife. I don't know what kind of an embrace they were into, whether he was caressing her, hugging her, or whatever, but it was pretty clear that that was not his sister. But anyway, Abimelech then charged the people not to do anything against Isaac or his dear wife. And we're going to pick up the reading right beyond that. And the Bible said in verse number 12 that Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forth until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him in all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of his water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well springing with water. Go on down and look at verse number 25. The Bible said, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And then in verse number 32, again it said, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well, which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." What a blessing it is. Brother Steve Mahaffey, ask God to bless us, my friend. And tonight we're preaching more about Isaac than we are about Abraham. And we're going to be preaching more about the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son than we are going to be about Mark or Brother Kenny or Brother Feldman. But it plays into the message tonight to understand that for almost 40 years, the man by the name of Brother Feldman Cheek, he guarded this flock, Brother Jody. He kept this thing at the forefront or the frontlets of his heart. I mean, Brother Tam, this thing probably, and it does me, so I'm always assuming that it did the same thing for your dad, but it almost consumed him. Every thought is always with you folks. Everything that I do, everything that I see, it has Calvary's mark on it. I see somebody out and I wonder, did they go to church? I'm like Brother Woody. I wonder if they go to church anywhere. And then maybe I'll ask them, "Do you go to church?" And a lot of times they do, Brother Woody. And I say, "Well, keep supporting your church. I'm not a proselyte. I'm not trying to get you to come here." But everything that Brother Feldman did for the better part, Brother Tam, of over half of his life, it had the intent was on you guys. It was about Calvary. His thoughts were you, and your thoughts were his. Your prayer requests belonged to him. Why? Because he cared for the flock. And then I look back as Abraham, he was known for two things. He was known for the altar, and he was known for the well. And as we look at that, the altar is for worship. Amen? That's what the altar's for. It's for sacrifice, and they built an altar there that they might worship Almighty God. Bless God, we've got an altar, and we need to keep the altar for what it was built for. It's built for the worship, and it's built for self to die out, to sacrifice on that altar yourself. Give yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Bless God, the days of living sacrifices is us. We are the living sacrifice. The dead sacrifices are over. But he would dig a well after that he had built an altar. And bless God, that water, that well was for water. The same as the altar was for worship, that well was for water. You tell me how long something can live except that it has water. It's not going to live very long. And bless God, a church, Brother Tammy, it will not survive if it does not have the water of the Holy Spirit of God. It's just not going to survive. Bless God, you might grow the church on programs. You might grow it on social events. And you might grow it upon this or that. Bless God, if this thing going to be here 40 years from now, if this thing going to be here 100 years from now, it'll be because, bless God, we've got a well, and that well still got fresh running water in it. That's just the way this is going to be. But I think about what might have taken place for those that were here early on in the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church. And then, as it were, in the book of Haggai, how do you remember the former house and how do you see it now? Brother Kenny, you left here back in the early 70s and then, or 80s. I don't know, when did you leave here? 81. So you left here in 81. Brother Woody, I know you've been a deacon since what, 70-ish? 78. Anybody been here longer than the 70s? Might have been here in the 60s. Over in here is a couple that's been here in the 60s. Can I ask you, Miss Clara May, do you still feel the Spirit of God here in the latter day in 2018 like you did in 1960s? Do you still feel the Spirit of God here? I mean, I hope that you can, but is it the same? You better believe that it's not. It's changed and it will continue to change. And as we, the people change, I bless God, the church will change. But Brother Jody, we better get back to the old book. Remember the old ancient landmarks. And the Bible said to remove not them ancient landmarks. But there's something about those wells. There's something about the old things that the old forefathers did. And I wonder at times if we, the younger people, I can get away with what the older people did. I say that we absolutely can. Why? Because we got the backing of the good grace of Almighty God. We got the King James Bible. The Bible didn't change any. Bless God, we are the ones that are changing. God doesn't change. So why in the world should we back up from it and change it? We don't change that message, bless God. The message changes us. So let's look into the scriptures very quickly and just see what happened. As I said, Abraham was an altar builder. Bless God, use the altar. I would encourage you to use the altar. And encourage me to see those that would come down here, many of them in your own family, coming down here doing business with God. Why? Because they know where to go to get the help. You go to the altar because that's where sins are atoned for. That's on the altar. And that's where help comes from, is on the altar. And bless God, I don't care if I'm preaching or Brother Kenny's preaching or Brother Feldman's preaching about whatever your sin is, bless God, use the altar and get that thing fixed once and for all. It'll work. Many times we go back and we hear those scriptures read about the man that sin is covered shall not prosper, but if he confesses it, it's forgiven. But how many times do we forget that stuff? Abraham was an altar builder, and that was built just to bless God, to sacrifice and to worship Almighty God. And oh, how we need an altar, Preston. We need an altar, and we need to use that altar. But bless God, we better have some water. We better have a well. So what happened in this passage of scripture that we just read? It was well noted that Abraham was a well driller. He was a well digger, Danny. Anybody knows cattle, and anybody knows herds, anybody that knows anything about farming, anything knows about life, knows you got to have water. You won't make it without it. On the spiritual scene, did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ not say that I am the water? Did he not say he's the living water? He said, you drink of me and you'll never thirst again. So I would suggest that water is very important in the Latter-day Church. But tell me, better have some water. Well, you can't do it on social programs alone, preacher. Oh, you can grow a big flamboyant mess. You can grow a bunch of stuff. But at the end of the day, when the devil comes, guess what? You just give in to him. So let's look in here tonight, and I want to go through this thing very quickly. Chapter number 26, we'll go break it down to about three different passages of scripture. We'll start out in the 26th chapter. We're probably going to take it and break it down. The first three verses be first three verses being 12 through 14. Bible said, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forth and grew until it became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now I'm going to stop there for just a second. I want you to see something. Not everybody's going to like our flavor. They're not. I like certain flavors of different things, and you do as well. When you go out to eat, Brother Chris, I might get my spice at the one. We went there one day, and I told them I wanted to. They said, how spicy you want? I said, I want it one. What is one, Brother Tam? That's pretty mild. Brother Chris said, I want mine 50. True story. We ordered the exact same menu item, Brother Tam. And then whenever the waitress came out, she's looking at that, and I could tell right off the bat that she didn't remember which one was one and which one was 50. And she went like this a couple times, didn't she, Chris? And then she said, So she gave me the 50. And I'm sitting there after about 2 seconds. I couldn't feel my tongue. My head was just pouring water. And I said, Chris, I think I've got the 50. And he said, well, we'll trade. And I said, well, I've already eaten out of these. He said, well, I don't care to eat after you. But anyway, we didn't swap out because I didn't want him eating after me. Moreover, let's change it. I don't want to eat after him. That was probably more what it was. But let me say, even as I have a difference of opinion on my flavors of foods and all these things, my God, I'm going to be honest with you. There's only one flavor when it comes to Christianity. That's God Almighty. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God. But not everybody going to like my kind of preaching. Not everybody going to eat up Brother Feldman Cheese kind of preaching. I imagine that the many of them come in here and probably sat through about one or two services and said, I got to get out of here. We've had them come since I've been here. They pop in. And when they go out, they say, preacher, we really enjoyed that. And Brother Kevin, they might come in and they might really enjoy it. But then again, they may endure it and they don't come back. Because I ain't seen them. They tell you, boy, it's a good message. And they get out of here. But those enemies, the Philistines, saw what was going on. They saw the hand of God prospering that Abraham had touched. What Abraham had done, God blessed it. And here comes Isaac along, and you know what happened in the meantime, but from the passing of Abraham until then, the rise up of Isaac, and the Bible doesn't mention a whole lot about Isaac. We got about one chapter of the life of Isaac, that's about it. But Brother Jody, that chapter is a beautiful picture of him honoring the work of his forefathers. And that's how we ought to honor the work of our forefathers. And keep this thing pure and keep it holy, Brother Tim. Amen. So what happened in the meantime? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. And who is that? That's those that are envious against what's going on in this very place. The Philistines didn't like it, Brother Steve. What'd they do? Look what it said. They said that they envied. Come on in, Miss Laura. He said they envied him. And I want you to see that. The Lord blessed him, and the Philistines envied him. And then I want you to see this just for a second. The Bible then said that because they did envy in the latter part of 14, for the wells which his father's servants had digged in the land of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them up with earth. Now, not everybody liked that water. Not everybody liked the free-flowing water. Not everybody was excited about what Father Abraham had done, Ryan. Not everybody. Why? Because they looked at Isaac with envy. They said, he'd been handed something. He didn't dig those wells. Why should he benefit from those wells? Those are not his wells. So what'd they do, Brother Larry? They stopped them up. They shoveled them full of dirt. And I'm afraid that some would look and say, in this latter day, that Brother Feldman, he blazed a trail. Those old saints of God, they blazed a trail. But this crowd in here today, they've not done anything to get that blessing. They've not done anything to earn that reward from God Almighty. They've not done anything for that. So what they do? The devil comes in and with envy's sake, they try to stop up the wells and stop the water from flowing. How they do that? They bring in junk on us. You better believe that. They fill us up with junk. And if you're not real careful, we will get saturated with junk, Brother Joe. And that junk is that would then bog us down and stop up the well. Anything that stops the water from flowing is what stops up the well. And you said, then what would stop up the water from flowing? Let's just go down that road for a minute. Untimely prayer request. I mean, the Lord's blessing and blessing and blessing and spiritual blessings are flowing and people are testifying right in the middle of it. I got an ingrown toenail. Need you to help me with that. That's not the time nor the place for that prayer request. I mean, quench the spirit. That's another way to stop up the well. Sit there. God's a squeezing your heart, Preston. I mean, your heart's a beating out of your chest. Everybody within 10 pews can hear it. And he's saying, Preston, you brag on me. Tell them what I did for you. Tell them about how good I am. Or they'll say, Brother Larry, get up and tell this place about that, that death row inmate that trusted me as their Savior. Why? Because they too have a death sentence. And bless God, you preached unto them. And bless God, I give them eternal life. And these pews are full of people. Brother Larry, they got a death sentence on. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. They're going to hell. And I'm squeezing your heart right now. Tell them. Just tell them about me. And you said, no, they've heard my story before. You quench the Holy Spirit. You quench the Holy Spirit. You know what you're doing? You're stopping the well. You're blocking that from flowing, which can bring forth life everlasting, springing up to life everlasting. The day spring of life could spring forth and bring life, but no, you're stopping it up. How many times, Brother Steve, could I use you? You say, I think you're going to anyway. Just shake your head or say amen or something. How many times have you in the past come down and said, Preacher, I'm going to sing one tonight? Yeah. And have I not said, no, you're not? Have I not said that? One time, two times? Have I said, don't kill my spirit. Don't kill the spirit. Why? It's not just you. It's the one that would be in the choir whenever Brother Scott's earnestly prayed over this, and he's prayed over it, and we got the right song selection. And Brother Scott says, Pastor, the service is yours. And then somebody will say, sing this one. And then whenever we sing that last one, it's like the Spirit of the Lord just left the building. How many times has that happened? And Brother Scott might say, let's wave this one off. It's time for the Word of God. And why? Because that man's sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not saying you're not the one. And it doesn't happen every time. That might be the one. If God's a grip in your heart and you said, let's sing that one. That might be the one that gets the thing flowing again and causes the well to burst forth. But so many times it'll be like, Brother Scott said, it's time to sit down. Let the Word of God go. Let's sing this one. And then all of a sudden, whoop. Brother Tam, there went the Spirit. How many times have you seen the preacher, Brother Kenny? I mean, that man has preached the Word of God. And Brother Chris has done it. I've done it. You've done it. I mean, the Word of God said, it's over. Sit down. But I've only been up here 12 minutes. But let me get back on my notes and let me figure this out. No, when God says it's done, you're done. Sit down. But yeah, he'll have to get back on. I got to get back on task. Let me get back in here. I've got 43 more points. I got to get back in here. No, when you do that, you're stopping up the well. That the Word of God's done. I was running a revival one time and God only preached for about 10 or 12 minutes that night, Miss Karen. I mean, it wasn't long at all. And God said, you're done. And I got ready to get down. I got down. But the preacher got up behind me. And honestly, Miss Cindy, was it not over an hour of him begging people? He was begging people, please come. Please come and get saved. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Brother Jody, I could beg all night. I could come get you and drag you up here. But if the Holy Spirit of God doesn't get you, you're not going to be got. Just let the Holy Spirit do it. I notice something people don't like in church, and that's silence. We don't like silence. And I've seen preachers try to get real reverent and real holy at the spiritual time of the evening, whenever that Holy Ghost is going to do a work, and try to get real quiet. Because we don't like silence. And because of that silent moment, somebody will have to feel like they've got to do something. You ever seen that? They just feel it's inside of them. And when they do that, whatever that is, they're stopping up the well. Listen, Satan hates you. Satan hates me. Satan hates every single one of us. And do you know who he uses to hinder these services? He uses us. He'll use you. You said, but I'm saved. It don't matter. He'll use you. He'll use me. If I'm not very careful, he'll use me to stop up the well. But the Bible says this, that the Philistines, who's the Philistines? That's an enemy of God. In verse number 12, number 13, 15, it said, in the latter part of 14, it said, and the Philistines envied him for the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines have stopped them up, filled them up with earth. So listen to me just a minute. Satan does not like that. Satan is envious. They said that they envied him. Satan and his crowd and his minions are full of envy about the things of God. Amen. He doesn't like what we're doing, Brother Ryan. He doesn't like what we're doing, Brother Joe. So what does Satan do? Through envy of others, he'll come in here and he'll try himself to pollute the waters. Stir up a stink. Cause somebody to turn on somebody else. Maybe through an ill-timed remark. Say something just off the cuff or untimely. And next thing you know, you've hurt somebody. Or you've hindered the Spirit of God. But even as Satan's crowd has the envious nature, I want you to see something. If every single one of us in here tonight that's trying to serve God would give an honest effort. I'm serious, Brother Larry. If you'd give an honest effort before you got here, not after you got here, but before you got here, said, Lord, move Larry out of the way tonight. Lord, that you might have preeminence. Move Preston out of sight. Move me. Move me as the preacher. Move me as the pastor. Get me out of the way. Remove Margaret. Remove Miss Joe. Remove Miss Wanda. Remove Brother Danny and Miss Debbie. Remove us out, dear Lord, that you might have your preeminence. Amen. I'm telling you what, the effort of you doing that to move yourself out of the way is going to show up in the worship of the church. It'll show up. Look, if you don't believe me, look what it says in verse number 16 to 17. I keep losing my stuff up here. Number 17, the Bible said, and Isaac departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And then look at number 18. And he digged again in the waters. Look what it said. He digged again in the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, and the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. I want you to read a quote from, anybody ever heard of A.W. Pink? Brother Chris, you ever heard of Pink? I know you do a little reading of Pink. In digging again the wells of Abraham, which had been stopped up by the Philistines, Isaac appears to typify Christ who reopened the wells of living water, which had virtually been blocked up by the traditions and the ceremonialism of the Pharisees. But I want you to see what he said about the seventh time. And I should have highlighted that. I may have even... Anyway, he goes on. Here it is. It said, Isaac was essentially the man of the well, as Abraham was a man of the altar. Jacob, specifically the man of the tent, but that which was most prominent connection was Isaac with the well. It's a very striking, significant statement whenever I say that Isaac's name is associated with the well, but only seven times. Not more, nor not less. What is seven in the Bible? That's completion. So why would Isaac only be mentioned seven times concerning the well? Not eight, not six, but why seven? Because, bless God, I believe when we look at this, the importance of the well was such that Isaac understood that that's where life comes from. I understand that, bless God, Brother Tam, your dad, he dug some wells here. And bless God, those wells still have water flowing out of them. But how many times has somebody come by and tried to pollute those waters? I find it all the time. And if I'm not careful, it'll be me with my dirty hands in them. Y'all ever drink from a dipper? Anybody here know what a dipper is? Y'all even have a clue? We used to have a bucket on the back of the sled of the trailer when we were in the tobacco patch. And that thing had a gourd dipper in it. Sometimes it was metal, aluminum or something. But we'd go by there, and sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Larry, sometimes you'd have to take the dipper, the gourd dipper, and you'd have to look over in there, Brother Tam. What were you getting? You was getting out the tobacco worms and anything else, bugs, anything else that had fell over in the water. And you'd take that thing, Melissa, as nasty as it sounds, Cindy Hall would have died of thirst. She'd have germ-exed the gourd, the dipper, the bucket, dumped the water out, run it through a bit of water filtration system, whatever it took. But sometimes, brother, well, you just have to take and get the stuff off the top. Anybody ever drank from a spring? Yes. There you go. What'd they do, Brother Clayton? What'd you do? You had to go down there and you'd rake the leaves out of the spring. And after you got through getting all the leaves off, Brother Tam, you'd let it sit for a little while. Why? You had to let the stuff that you just stirred up settle back down, and then you'd get you a drink. So many times that spring, so many times that well becomes contaminated. I'm honest with you, it does. And sometimes you just got to clean it out a little bit. You say, well, how do you clean it out? I'll tell you a good place to clean it out. It's right up here. Amen. I told you that Abraham was a man of the altar and a man of the well. It's a good place to go back to the altar to get the well clean. But it said that he digged it again And it said, Isaac digged again the wells of his father, which had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. And the Philistines had stopped him up with after the death of Abraham, called the names by which he called him before. And I like that, what it says in that. Brother Tim, I like when it said that he called him what they used to call him. Read that verse for me again, Brother Larry, if you want to. Did you see where I read it? I believe I was in verse number 17. It said there, in the latter part of that, of the 18th, it said that he called them by the names after the names which his father had called them. Brother Kenny, have you noticed in the latter day, we don't call sin by what it is anymore? Did y'all hear today that the Boy Scouts are no longer going to be the Boy Scouts? They're just going to be called the Scouts now. It's going to be boys and girls. They got homosexual scout leaders and they got everything else going. I'm telling you, my friends, they are sodomizing the nation. They're feminine. The boys are making the boys more and more feminine. And that's just the way this nation's going, Brother Tam. But bless God, what they're doing, they're changing the labels. They're changing the names of the well. They're changing the name of the definition. Bless God, it's sodomy. It comes straight from the word Sodom in the Bible. It's against nature, Brother Jody. It's homosexualism. It's like your daddy said. He called it out Sunday. He called them queers. That's what it is. And nobody likes to hear that anymore, but bless God, that's what it is. No, preacher, that's just an alternative lifestyle. See, they changed the names. Ryan, that's not what Abraham did. He called it what it was. He called the name by the names of the wells. Isaac said he called him the same name that it was back then. He didn't relabel it. Brother Kenny, what did they call people shacking up 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Shacking up? What is it now? I know what it is to you. It's still fornication. It's still shacking up. I got a peanut gallery out there. This shit is just a different lifestyle. Cohabitation is what they call it now. Cohabitation. It's shacked up. But see, everything gets relabeled. Isaac called him what his daddy called him. He called it by the same name. Sin is still sin, no matter what kind of a wrapper you try to put on it and try to clean it up. Abortion is still murder. It's the killing of another one. Bless God. Brother Danny, if your heart stops beating, they call you dead. I mean, you can be brain dead. They're going to keep your body alive. As long as your heart beats, they say Danny Byers still alive. But when your heart quits beating, guess what? They say Danny's gone. Then, bless God, why at the begin or the advent of conception in a heartbeat, Brother Tim, which happens very early on in prayer. Why don't they declare life? No, it's not a life yet. It is a life, and God determines that, and He understands that. Before the Lord knew me, while I was in my mother's womb, He knew me. The Bible says it. Listen what it says. I want to hit this real quick. I'm going to keep going. Oh man, they destroyed his stuff. They filled his dirt, filled the waters up with dirt. They even despised him being in his presence. Look what it said. It said, go from us in verse number 16. Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we are. They despised even his presence. I wonder how many times somebody just didn't even want to be around Brother Feldman. Throw that chin out there. He did Sunday. Kind of scared me. Bless God. I bet you got scared growing up, didn't you, Karen? Yeah. Oh, Lord. Amen. Can you understand? They didn't want to be around him. Why didn't they want to be around Isaac? Why didn't they want to be around Isaac? The Bible doesn't acknowledge that he had great possessions. The Bible said they envied him. But they said, get away from us, for thou art mighty. Brother Kenny, why didn't they want to be around him? Because they understood that he had a relationship with God Almighty. And bless God, there was something different about him. Did they not despise him for the same reason they despised our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Did they not try to crucify him and get him out of here and conspire to kill him? Every time they turn around, they're trying to trap him and trick him up by asking him questions about the law or about the Bible. Said, what sayest thou concerning the washing of hands? Or what sayest thou about picking up sticks on the Sabbath? What sayest thou about washing it? Or whatever about pots and pans and this and that? What sayest thou? They were always trying to trap him. Same reason they didn't like Isaac, because he was God's man and he was the God man. Just didn't set well with most people. We're going to close this thing down here very quickly. I want you to understand that this is right now an ancient landmark. It is. You said, why is this an ancient landmark? Because it still holds to the ancient traditions. It still holds to the ancient things that made it great to this day. Do you know that the church that you're and her mom and them were affiliated with, I'm not even going to name it. I'm using you because I know that y'all know what I'm talking about. That church has changed. It's changed. There's a church. There's churches all around us that, I mean, one time, her grandma Cardwell, bless God, would roll over to her grave right now to see some of the things that's going on in some of the churches that she held so dear to her heart. They changed. They changed their doctrinal positional so much. And Miss Kim, they have filled that well that one time flowed with crystal clear, running, living water. They polluted it. And once that stuff's polluted, it stays in there till you get it out. It might settle to the bottom. But just as I told you about the spring, Brother Jody, you get the stuff off the top, you stir up the stuff on the bottom, you gotta let it settle back down, it's still in there. Bless God, we just need to redig the wells. We need to find out what the old saints of God, the old Feldman Cheeks, the old Cecil Hoopers, the old Jack Osborne, the old Dean Rector, the old saints of God, what they were doing. We need to, as the Bible said, let's go there. Jeremiah chapter number 6 in verse number 16, the Bible said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And bless God, it didn't just stop there. It said, if you will do that, that there's a blessing in store for you because the Bible said you shall find rest for your souls. In what? In the old way. In the old way of Jeremiah's day, I'm sure that was none different than the old way of us today. They had modernized things and tried to make it more convenient for their own sakes. But look what they said. It's an archaic word. It's a biblical term, but it's an archaic word because they said, we will not walk therein and we will not hearken. You know what that old word means, hearken? They said, we're not going to hear you. How many times, Brother Joe, you stood in the gap, Brother Kenny, and preached the Word of God, and you knew it wasn't going to be a popular message. You knew it wasn't going to go, it was going to fly like a lead balloon, but you had to do it anyway. And how many times did people just stop up their ears and shut up their hearts unto it? Those Philistines were the exact same way, because look what it said. They said, get away from us, depart from us, for thou art mightier than we. I'm going full forward to the New Testament now. The sinner's envy, the saint's effort. And I want you to see the salvation effect. The Bible said whenever Isaac redug the wells, I jumped all the way over, I believe it was verse number 24. It was actually verse number 32, I'm sorry. It said, it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told them concerning the well which they had digged. And he said unto them, we have found water. Once you hit water, I'm telling you what, Miss Cindy's mom and daddy years ago, up above your house, did you know they owned a piece of land on the upper end of Boone Trail? They were going to build a house up there, and they had bought this piece of land. Back then, it wasn't like it is today. Now, if you buy it, you got a Texas team of 50 lawyers making sure everything's good before you actually close the deal out. They bought this piece of land. It's on the other side of Perk Test and all that stuff. Brother Tam, I don't know how many feet. I would tell them wrong if I told you, but they dug and they dug and they drilled and they drilled and they dug 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 and then they dug some more. They went through rock and went through rock and went through rock and went through rock. And you know what? They never, ever, ever found water. That piece of land today still doesn't have a house on it. Why, Brother Tam? There's no water. You can't dwell where there's no water. Spiritually speaking, folks, we can't dwell where there's no water. We will cease to exist with no water. So I'm just suggesting to you that once you've got the water and she's flowing freely, we better keep the well clean. We better do what's necessary to make sure the water continues to flow. And the salvation effect is namely this. They found water. Why? Because they had redug the well. Brother Tam, I think it'd do us good once in a while just to redig the well. I think it would do us good to look back and find what worked in the days of a Feldman Cheek ministry. What worked in the days of those old saints and the old patriarchs of God? What worked in their day? Because I promise you, Brother Grant, if it worked then, it will work now. There's nothing different. Salvation didn't change. God didn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All that stuff's still the same. So what's the variable in it all? We are. The only variable in that whole thing in this latter-day church age is us. because everything else remains the same. We're going to close this thing up here in just a second. I want to show you this. If the well typifies the Spirit of God, listen to this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and crying and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that should believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's John chapter 3, 37 through 39. As we stand, Brother Scott comes, Miss Macy comes.